The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
That's good. Continue your conversations as you desire. You know, Matt was talking about yesterday is National Day of Thanksgiving. What's today? Sunday, correct. What else? 1st of June, first day of winter. Me and Raymond have just been in Darwin for about 8 days and we feel the difference coming back here. But June 1 today, it's a good day. It's Foundation Day, or now called WA Day. A day when we remember the development of the Swan River Colony, which is now WA, when it was first sighted in June 1, 1829. And many of us are privileged to have been born and bred in this state of Western Australia. Foundation Day. You know, with it being Foundation Day, and I was thinking about the whole foundation, the word foundation, and what it is that we have as a foundation of our life. And Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then he goes on and talks about, be careful how you build. So you don't create a foundation, you build on the foundation. And he said, you can either build using wood, hay and stubble, which is going to get burnt up, or you can build with gold, silver and precious stones, which is going to last. But the reality is that Jesus Christ is our foundation. He's our solid rock. He's our cornerstone. We've sung about him today, the cornerstone. He is trustworthy. We can rely on him. We don't always, but he's trustworthy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our state. We thank you that today is WA Day. We want to pray into our state. We want to pray for our government, our state government, our local governments. We want to praise you for the privilege it is to live in this state. I want to pray that we can continue to actually overflow with your grace and your love and your mercy and your hope in this state, the state in which we are planted. And Father, as we talk today about Jesus Christ being our foundation and what that looks like and the reality of that, I pray that you would speak in such a way that we're actually moved towards you in new ways. Father, you know the storms that we go through, you know the pressures that we go through, and you know what we're going through right now. And I pray that you would speak into those and you'd reassure us in the midst of those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, Jesus talks a number of times about foundations and what our life is based on. And he uses stories often to illustrate that. And one story we're going to look at today is from Luke chapter 6. And it'll be on the screen there from verses 47 to 49. It's at the end of a sermon that he's preached. And he shares this story just to bring some things out. So normally I would read it to you, but I want you to read it to me today. Okay, can you do that? Nice and loud, easy to see. Put your glasses on. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three, go. Destruction was complete. You know, if you've been in churches for any length of time, you've probably read that before. You've probably heard sermons on it. But the reality is that building our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ has many benefits. Many benefits for today, for tomorrow, but also for eternity. The benefits are far-reaching. You know, as I look at these two builders here, both of them heard the same words. They heard the same message. They heard the same instructions. Both of their houses looked good when they were built. They may have been the same. They may have looked the same. They looked okay. And I'd say that both the builders expected their houses to stand. There wasn't a sense of, oh, well, I'll just build this one. It'll probably fall over. There was an expectation that it would be okay. And the other thing I noticed there, which is similar, is that the storm hit both of them. The storm always hits, doesn't it? Doesn't matter if you're the most spiritually righteous person, the storms still hit. As I look around here, I see different storms that have hit and are hitting people in our right here in this group that I know of. The storms hit both of us, both of them and all of us. But the results of the storm are different. For the one without the foundation solid, the result was destruction. For the one that built on the solid rock, it stood firm. Jesus Christ is our solid rock. He's the one in the midst of the storms that we can trust. You see, Christ is our foundation. That's the reality. Not Christ could be or should be or will be or was, but is. Christ is our foundation, and the foundation is solid. It can be relied on, can be trusted. The good thing is sometimes those of us that are in Christ, we live our lives actually believing that Christ is our foundation. And we choose to not stress, we choose to actually trust him in the hard times. But other times we live our lives as though Christ is not our foundation and it's not solid. And we revert to our own styles of relating or practice, styles of living. And we do stress and we do get worried and we choose to go our own directions and try and make stuff happen. And we pay for it. We pay for it. Doesn't mean to say our life is a total loss, but we pay for it. You know, the last month or so I've been reading a book, and I can't remember the name of it. It's about two Iranian ladies. And they'd become Christians, and they were put in prison, one of the worst prisons in Iran. They were put in there on the accusation of sharing their faith. And several things that came out of it really hit me, because they said it's ironical that we were put into this prison for sharing our faith, and yet now this prison has given us a huge opportunity to share our faith with freedom. She said all the ladies that are in here come to them, and they are known as the praying women. And they come to them for prayer for all their dramas. And they have come to Christ, and they're in the jail for 269 days or whatever. But they had a huge ministry there. And yet the other thing that hit me and hit the guards and the women in the prison was they couldn't believe that these women were actually imprisoned for believing in Jesus, and that they could renounce that and be free. And they thought, why don't you do that? Why don't you just renounce your faith and you'll be free? And one of the ladies said to him, you don't understand. Jesus Christ is our foundation for life. He's everything. If we renounce him, we've got nothing to live for anyway. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? They said, we are free whether we're in prison or not. And we're not in prison because some people think we should be in here. We're in prison because God's got a plan and he's using us in the midst of this. We're trusting in him. He's our solid rock. And the others couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand that. But these ladies knew their foundation was Jesus. And they were choosing to build on the foundation in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the uncertainty. They were choosing to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. And they were investing in eternity and making the most of the opportunities that God was giving them. A good friend of mine in India, he's about 38 years old now. When he was 17, his family was high-caste Hindu. And at 17, he got to hear the gospel and he responded. He became a Christian, which immediately meant he was ostracized from the family. He wasn't beaten and persecuted in that way, but he was shoved out. And he said, even now, any contact with the family has to be initiated by me. He said, they may talk to me. They won't initiate conversation. They will answer a question, possibly. He said, that's what I've got. But he said, I've moved from a situation of having no certainty at all in my foundation to now I have got a rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ. What compares to that, he said? He said, I've moved from, and I guess it's a cliche, from a huge area of darkness and fear to light and hope. He said, what does that compare to? Why would I not be excited? So in the midst of the storm of not having family embracing him anymore, he's able to share, and he's a trainer of pastors as well. He's able to share from a rock-solid foundation, which doesn't come from people anyway. It comes from a belief in Jesus Christ. Many of you know Matt Sonsi. Matt led this morning. His wife, Mel, shared her story at a ladies' coffee night at our church just recently. I think it was earlier this year. And she's given me permission to share aspects of that. She's written out a few things. But Mel has been through a lot of storms in her life. And the first one she talked to me about was when she was an early teenager and her father died. And that was an awful time for her and for her family. And she said, at that point, I clung to God. She said, I didn't want to lose him too. I've lost my earthly father. I don't want to let go of my heavenly father. So she said, I hung on to him. I clung to the fact that God loved me. It's as simple as that. I saw others in my family lose their faith due to being angry at God. And she said, I didn't see that they were any better off by letting go of God and giving up on him. But she said, I stayed with that solid foundation of God at that point in my life. And then as a young mother, she said, my baby had to have open heart surgery. It's a big deal. She said, at that point, I realized again, I was not in control of this. You're not able to control this situation. I couldn't protect her or save her, she said. I needed to trust that God was able to save. And that gave me a peace that allowed me to get through that very stressful time. I was still fearful and scared, but I didn't give up on my faith. It's like, I said to another lady in our church once, you know, in all the times you've been through, all the storms you've been through, have you ever felt like giving up on God? And she said, giving up on God? She said, he's the only one that's solid in my life. Why would I give up on God? And that's what Mel was discovering. And then as a wife, last year Matt had to have brain surgery. He had a brain tumour. They'd worked out that it wasn't malignant, but they had to have the surgery because it was quite large and pressing in, and it was still quite dangerous. And she said, again, I realised that I wasn't in control of this. It's like, I can't do anything except pray here and keep hopeful. I could do nothing to control the outcome. There was a big chance of him dying or being impaired for the rest of his life. And she said, again, I was scared. That's a normal reaction, isn't it? I'm scared about what's going to happen, what could happen. But again, she said, I clung to God and I put my faith in God because I was unable to put my faith in anything else. I could trust that God could carry me through no matter what the outcome, good or bad. I guess as I share some of those stories, you might identify in some way, shape or form with some of them. But the reality is that storms will hit us. Storms are hitting people right now. And as I said, I look around and some of you are in the midst of a storm right now. And it's challenging, it's hard. But storms in some way can reveal our foundation. How we handle them can reveal a lot of things. It can reveal who we really are putting our trust in. How we interpret a storm is crucial. Now, some people, a storm hits them and they say, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? I've been good. Wrong interpretation. Now, so storms in our life help us to interpret life in a different way. And God uses those times. I like to think, I don't always handle this as well, but I like to think that storms are opportunities for learning. We had a guy speaking a couple of years ago at a men's night, and he said, you know, the test is not the test. The storm is not the test. How we respond to the test is the test. Now, storms are great opportunities for learning. They can teach us a lot of things. It's like an exam or a test for stuff you learn at school. Without a test, you've got no idea of actually whether you really know it or not. So you actually have to put something down on paper or do something to reveal that you know it. And so a storm in your life can be a great opportunity for learning. It may reveal something of what your belief really is or where your trust really is. What are you trusting in? A storm can reveal that. A storm can reveal what you are considering is important in your life. is in the midst of some of the storms that you're going through or been through, some things that you might have worried about a year before don't matter that much. So storms give you an opportunity to reconsider what is important. I think storms also help us to experience the reality of God. You know, often in the midst of a funeral that I might be doing, I see that the people who are vitally vitally concerned, or they're the ones that are hurting the most, they're the ones where God kicks in more. They experience the reality of God more than, say, a casual friend of the person that might have died. So storms give us an opportunity to experience the reality of God. And that's always positive. I turn 60 next year. Time for the walking stick. I remember clearly the day I turned 50, 9 and a bit years ago. And I remember thinking to myself, if I wasn't a Christian, or if a person is not a Christian and they turn 50, if their foundation is not Christ, they would have to be questioning what is life all about. I don't know why it was at 50 that really hit me, but I thought, you'd have to start asking questions about what's the point of life? What is all this about? Because it's fast, I'm running out. I suppose I'll think similar things when I'm 60. You know, I got thinking, if my foundation for life is not God, then there's got to be a lot of insecurity in my life. Because it means I'm basing my life on something else apart from God, and the something else can go. It can go like that. It might be health. We know that health can go quickly. Not guaranteed of good health. It might be money or resources. And we know that goes pretty quick as well. You know, we've heard testimony in our church of people that have gone from millionaire to nothing very quickly because of a downturn. It happens. If our faith is in money, we can be in trouble because it's fickle, it goes. If it's position, our position either as in celebrity or at work or status, that can go. It can go very quickly. If our faith or our foundation is and our security is based in other people, whether it be our family members or friends or whatever, they can go. They can either leave or they can die or what, you know, it changes. Our foundation in anything else apart from God, we're in trouble. We've got to have a level of insecurity. And so for all of us, we have to keep coming back. If you're in Christ, keep coming back to the reality that my faith is in Christ. He is my foundation. I'm digging in Him. I'm living on Him. I am in Christ. A few years ago, I was on an overnight charter fishing boat up in Exmouth. I was with about a dozen of us, a few family, friends, and it was only a one night, 2 days, one night, and for the night, we slept on this little island. So the boat was sort of anchored out in this little bay. They put us in Zodiacs, took us onto the island. We just slept on swags or tents. And a few of us decided to go fishing off the beach that night. And so we walked from our campsite, which was behind the sandhills, over to the beach. And I just happened to notice that the boat was anchored right in front of us. And I thought, oh, that's good. I can remember where to walk back through. So we walked about half a kilometre down the beach, and we just fished different places. After a while, it got dark. We'd caught a few fish, and we're wandering back, lined up with the boat, walked over the sandhill, no campsite. I thought, that's interesting. I'm sure it was here. And we're looking around thinking, what's going on? And then about 200 metres that way, I saw the campsite, you know, with our tents and our lights and fires going. I thought, how did that happen? And then suddenly it hit me. The wind had changed. And the boat had gone strong on one anchor across, so it was now at the extent on the other end of the anchor. So the boat had moved 200 metres. So I'm lining up my direction on a thing which moves. And that's the problem with life. Too many things in our world shift. There's shifting sands, there's drifting boats. And if we line our lives up on something which is not stable, it's not solid, we can be out of whack. And I mean, a lot of the world do that. They're lining themselves up in full sincerity. I sincerely believe that what I was doing was right. Just missed the idea that that's not solid. It's a solid boat, but it's on water. It's drifting with wind. So if we base our life on our own reasoning, even as Christians, we can shift. And we can start heading off in another direction. You only have to be a couple of degrees off, and out there, you're suddenly a long way off. Our foundation is in Jesus Christ. In the midst of the everything else moving in our world, we have to have something solid that we can line up on. And that is Jesus. I was talking to one of the ladies from our church, and she said, we're talking about this, and she emailed this to me, and she said, you know, one of my staff is very anti-God. She said, well, actually, most of them are, but this one particularly is very anti-God. And she said, it's very interesting that her life is full of inner turmoil. Full of inner turmoil. Even with events that don't directly affect her life. So whatever's happening in the world, she gets full of turmoil over. Because if you haven't got this solid foundation of Jesus, anything that happens out there is going to concern you, or has the ability to. And she said she has no one to rest in, no firm foundation to help her stand up under pressure. See, when the pressure's off, it's okay. But it's when the pressure and the storms hit, that's when it's tested. She said, having a firm foundation in Christ gives me a resilience that can only come through Christ. Walking in the knowledge that I am never alone, that's a crucial thing today, never alone. That I'm never alone and I have an advocate who is interceding for me, gives me that peace that passes understanding. And I know a number of you have experienced that. And then she said to me, how do people cope without Christ as their foundation? How do they cope? I mean, you work and live near people and you know something of what they're going through and something of how they operate. You think, how do you cope in the midst of a crisis without Christ as the foundation? Then she went on and she said, we live lives tossed to and fro in storms, and if we don't have a moral compass, a solid foundation, then we are in trouble. Life is not relieved of stresses, challenges and disappointments because of our faith in Christ. So we still have the storms. But it is that very faith in Christ which allows us to work through those times with hope and trust in a blessed future which is now or in eternity. And I think that's a crucial thing to remember, that we have that hope. As we trust in the solid foundation in the midst of the storms, we have a hope. And it may be that we're delivered in this present life, or it may be that we just go into eternity. Either way, it's okay. You know, we read in the Psalms, as we read through the Psalms, we see that the psalmist often refers to God in pictures. And he'll use phrases like, God is my rock. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my strong tower. God is my stronghold. This great picture of stability. I can rely on Him. In the midst of all the shifting sands of my life, and all the negative stuff that's hit me, I can rely on God. He is my rock. Another lady emailed me some stuff a few weeks ago about that, and I thought, gee, it fits in with what we're talking about here. And she quoted this psalm, Psalm 40, and it'll be on your screen there, and it says, I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and He inclined to me and He heard my cry. You know, some people worry about how they're supposed to pray in the midst of a storm. It's okay to be honest with God. It's okay to lay it out on the table and say, God, this is not good. I hate what's happening here. It's okay to do that. As long as in the same breath we say, God, I'm coming to You. He doesn't want us necessarily to bellyache to everyone, but we can do it with Him. Because that's when His light shines in on it. He drew me up out of a horrible pit. That's what He does. He's good at it. Out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. So he puts me on this solid rock and he keeps me steady. Keeps me steady. And he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. So he doesn't just keep us steady, but then there's that opportunity we have to sing praise to God, to actually rejoice in who he is and what he's doing and what he's able to do. Many of the Psalms talk about this. And this person then said to me, that rock to me is the love of God and the word of God. That holds me. She said, when I put his love and his word into action, I set myself up to receive the benefit of his promises. Doesn't always come as we want, obviously. She said, people let you down and fall away, but God never fails. I can lean into him and give him my weakness, and he will use me and work through me to show himself strong. It's a great picture of leaning into God in my weakness, and his strength then becomes my strength. In my past, I was defeated. I was never really good at anything. My life was that pit of tumult and destruction. But she said, I found that there is no pit so deep that he cannot pull me out of there. God is there. The God who is there. Very near. There are a lot of things that I'm now able to deal with because he steadies my steps. I can almost feel God turning my head and my attention to what he wants me to focus on. The learning time. Remember the storms, the learning times? I can feel this happening in every area of my life. Sometimes this is quick and painless, and sometimes it's a slow, deliberate turn. All the while, I can still retain that strong foundation of how much he loves me. This is now my confidence. Things may not turn out how I want, but I trust God that I will be at peace with circumstances, whatever they are, because God has something new to show me, to teach me, or to reveal to me. Transformation is underway. So with joy and gladness, I stick with God. And this person's not a mature Christian in terms of length of time, but she's starting to learn the reality of God in the midst of the storms. Jesus Christ is my foundation. I cannot think of an area in my life that Jesus Christ has not touched and changed. You know, as you think back over your life, can you see the things in your life that Jesus has touched and changed? He's utterly turned my life around. I am so wrapped up in him. And almost every day, I have a new revelation of his love, a solid place to stand. And she said, when I read his word, I get conviction about something. Then I know that I am changing. I know the Spirit's working. And rather than feeling discouraged, I look at how far I have come. You know, sometimes when we read the word, we get convicted of something, and we can become self-condemning and think, oh, I'm useless. I'm not doing very well in this. It's too hard. I've mucked it up all the time. I'm never going to get any. And yet, we need to look back sometimes and say, wait a minute, look where we've come. Look at what's happened. Look at how God's got me there. Look at his mercy being shown there. And look at how he has changed me. It's important to look back so that we can then look forward with confidence. Sometimes if we're always looking at where we're going, we lose sight of the fact that God's actually been working in the past. I look at how far I have come, and that spurs me on with God. I thank him for his patience, and I am so grateful for what he is doing. I praise him every day, even for the difficulties. That's again a great picture. In the midst of the difficulties, the storms, we praise God. You might find it difficult to praise God for the difficulties, but you can praise God in the midst of the difficulties. He stirs and he leads me, and sometimes the lesson is easy and wonderful, and sometimes it's painful and very stretching. On looking back, I'm so grateful. On looking forward, I'm excited. Great picture, isn't it? Looking back, I'm so grateful to God for how he's moved. And that then gives me an excitement about the future, here and eternity. For although I still have so much to learn, I'm spurred on by Jesus. He's right here, loving me right here now. That is such relief, and in a world where you have to prove yourself all the time, Jesus as my strong foundation gives me such rest and relief. Jesus is not only waiting for me at the finish line. You know, we talk about, you know, he's not just up there saying, yeah, come on, you can do it. Come on, yeah, a little bit further, you can do it. She said, he's running the race with me. He's encouraging me. He's spurring me on. He's helping me. He's carrying me. He's holding me back at some times. And he's showing me what to do along the way. A solid rock that I can rely on. You know, that's one person's testimony at this point in their life. Only been a Christian a couple of years. But just experiencing something of the reality of God as a solid foundation in her life. You know, today you may be here and you're not in Christ. Or you're here today and you're in Christ, but you're struggling. And we all do to some degree. First of all, if you're not a Christian, I'd really want to ask you, what is your foundation for life? What are you standing on? Is it a drifting boat or a shifting sand? What are you standing on? Because whatever your foundation is, it's going to be tested. Jesus Christ wants you to experience the solid rock foundation of himself. Trustworthy, faithful. You know, your foundation, all of our foundations are going to be tested daily, but it's also going to be tested with the final storm of death, when death hits. And we go into eternity. At least having believed and put our faith in Christ, we know that our eternal destination is secure with him forever. For those not in Christ, there's no assurance there. And I believe God's saying, if you're not in Christ, he wants you to know that there's an open gift there. There's a free gift of eternity, and this solid foundation that in this life we have now, but also for eternity, you can be solid. You can be at peace, regardless of the storms. Love you to talk with us more about that if you're not in Christ. We'd love to help you to move towards him. You know, before Jesus shared this story that we've just unpacked a bit, he asked a question of the disciples and of the crowd that were present at that point. And the question is in verse 46, and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" And then he goes on to that story. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I think he asked us the same question. But then and now, he didn't ask us in a harsh way. It's not like, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't know what to... It's not like that. He's asking it out of a God who loves us. And he's saying, you're calling me Lord, but you're robbing yourself of all that I want to pour into your life because you're not actually obeying the things that I'm sharing with you. And so the question comes not with a harsh edge, but with an enticing embrace, a welcome. Put your solid foundation, put your life in me as a foundation and live in that, on that foundation. Walk on that foundation. Trust in me. Otherwise, you're robbing yourself of the life that he's just pouring out, the extravagant love that he's pouring out. I asked one of the other ladies in our church, what is it that helps you to stay reminded of and walking on this foundation of Jesus? What helps you to keep your mind on that direction? And she said, well, several things. One is the Word of God. Now, it's like, oh, yeah, that's always the answer. Word of God, read the Word. But she said, it really reminds me afresh of who God is and what he's on about. And that keeps me stable. She said, obviously, prayer is helpful. As I lay it out before God, as I put before him the storms that I'm worried about, his light comes onto it, his power comes into it, I feel at peace. And she said, for me, also, worship is very important. To sing and to praise God and to listen to worship songs where God is lifted up and praised. You know, it's so important that we learn to rejoice in Christ. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always and to praise him in the midst of the storms, because something happens. Something happens at that point. So God is speaking to you right now. We know that. God is always speaking. What's he speaking into your life? It may be a word of encouragement. It may be a word of reassurance. It may be a word that says, I'm with you. Or it might be connected to that question. What do you... How, to do with how you're robbing yourself of what he's got for you. You might be saying the relationship issues that you're dealing with, you're not putting into practice some of the things that I've said. Humility, patience and gentleness is something that you're miles from. Move more in that direction. It may be, he's saying, there's some opportunities for you to take a step of faith and you haven't done it yet. And it's come up again in your mind now and you're thinking, okay, I think he's talking to me about that. It might even be baptism. I mean, we've got a couple of weeks series on baptism in a few weeks. And it may be that baptism is something that you've thought, it's a good idea, but I don't think I'll bother with it. And he might be saying to you this morning, it's important. It helps you to actually know a little bit more of the solid foundation of Jesus. It may be that he's asking you questions about how you're investing your resources and your time and your energies and your abilities or your money. What are you building with? Wood, hay and stubble or gold, silver and precious stones? Because some are just going to be burnt up. Others will be revealed in eternity. You know, a couple of weeks ago we had our missions week and we talked about the investment that we have with people beyond ourselves. It may be that God is saying, I want you to invest a little more there. I want you to rethink and reevaluate how you're spending your time. I mean, in Perth, Western Australia, there's a lot of things we can do. We've got many options with our time. But even the way we respond to people, we can respond with negativity and criticism. We can change and think, wait a minute, I can respond with life and hope. So God might be speaking to you about that. Might be speaking to you about fears that are controlling the way you live, which are not godly. So you're operating under fear, and he's saying, I want to release you in that area. Or it might be there's some sin or rebellion or disobedience in your life, and he's saying, it's robbing you of life. And it's actually robbing the people you're living with, and it's actually robbing the people you work with and you mix with. Because it's diluting the gospel. Maybe he's talking to you about that. Whatever it is, we have to remember several things, that Jesus Christ is for you. God is for you. He's not condemning you. His arms are open saying, I have life for you to enjoy. If you're not a Christian, give your life to Christ and start on this awesome journey or continue on this journey. If you're in Christ, then listen to the word of God that's as he speaks to you and go with him rather than against him. Jesus Christ is our foundation, solid foundation. We can trust him. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you. We thank you again that we can trust you. And I want to praise you for the people in this room who have trusted you in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the storms in their own life. And I want to pray that you'd reassure them right at this point. I want to pray for others who there's fear or there's sin, and they're choosing to go their own way. I want to pray that you would cause them to respond in such a way that opens it up so they experience more of you and the overflow is impacting others as well. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the love that pours into our life. And again, we thank you for Jesus, the one who died that we might live. And that we can be in Christ. We can stand on this solid foundation. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, in a few moments, we'll have prayer partners down here. We'd love to pray into any of these things that have come up for you. You might want some prayer. We'd love to pray for you in any of the storms that you might be in or that you've been through or going to go through. So come down afterwards and we'd love to pray for you. Also, in the community life you received, there's a care card in there. And you may want to actually write on the care card just a prayer request. So some of the things that are going on for you, please take the time to write down and other people will pray for you. You can either give the cards to myself or put them in the blue boxes near the door as you leave. There might be some other areas there you might think, yeah, I want to be baptized. I want to talk about baptism. That's what I believe God's saying to me at the moment. So you can fill that in, tick the box, and we'll get in touch with you. If you are visiting with us today, we have a new friends area in that end of the cafe behind those walls. love you to head over there, get a free cappuccino and coffee, whatever, and some great food and some great conversations. Okay? You have a great day.